Now we turn our attention to State Representative Race District 12. We have tonight only the two Democrats that are running. And to introduce those candidates, here's Crystal Dupre.
Thank you, Scott. First, we have Chris Miller. Mr. Miller has resided in the district for 6 years. He is employed as an investigator for Daniel Stark Law. Mr. Miller obtained his BA in psychology from Baylor University. Marianne Arnold. Ms. Arnold has resided in the district for 18 years. She is a retired plant tissue culture researcher. Ms. Arnold obtained her BA in business administration from San Francisco State, a BS in horticulture from New Mexico State, and a PhD in molecular and environmental plant science from Texas A&M University. She survived her husband and has 3 adult children.
We'll begin with opening comments. First, Marianne Arnold.
Hi, I'm Marianne Arnold. I'm a Democrat running for the Texas House of Representatives in District 12. My 3 biggest priorities, if you elect me, are to restore state funding for public schools, to make sure that health care is accessible as well as affordable, and to rehabilitate our roads and infrastructure. 18 years ago, my husband and I moved to this area, to Curtin, so that I could go to graduate school. And like a lot of people in this room, perhaps, we never left. I got my PhD from A&M. Now, PhDs around here are just about as common as dirt. But what it does mean is that I can put in an enormous amount of effort over a long period of time, and it means that if I'm going to vote according to facts and information as much as I possibly can. I've been active in politics for a long time. One interviewer almost passed out when I told him that the first political campaign I worked on was Eugene McCarthy in 1968. I went directly from graduating from high school, and that very night I got on the bus and went to a different state to campaign. I've been a full-time candidate since last November, and I would be a full-time representative on a part-time salary if you elect me.
Thank you very much. The opening comments of Marianne Arnold. I made a mistake right up front. I gave her 2 minutes. So, Chris Miller, if you want 2 minutes, you got 2 minutes for your opening statement.
My name is Chris Miller. I was born and raised in Central Texas, graduated from Baylor University in 2015. I wanted to take a moment to talk about the necessity of working together in the State House. We currently have political polarization in the State House and nationally that's completely unsustainable. We have people refusing to work with one another just based on the political label. We need to remember that we are all Texans first, and we need to sit and reach across the aisle in order to get legislation taken care of. We have issues within our education system, where rich school districts are able to spend $65,000 more per classroom than poor school districts. In addition, we have a criminal justice system that locks people up left and right, and once they've come out of it, they have that stain on them for the rest of their lives when applying for jobs, housing, food stamps, any kind of benefits whatsoever. We have solutions to these problems, and we need to work together in order to have them solved. Thank you.
Opening comments of Chris Miller. I'll stay with you. The news of the day. What part, if any, does the state of Texas have when it comes to safety for children on public school campuses?
With regards to safety and gun violence in the state of Texas and nationally, there are common sense regulations that need to be put in place. Just full disclosure, I do carry for work. I do have a license to carry. I carry a 9mm. But it's so important to have gun safety courses, as well as if you want to carry, to at least have some kind of tactical training. Because if you're in a situation where there's a mass shooter, or you're in a situation where there's an emergency and you need to use your firearm, simply having the requirement of shooting a target from 3 meters away in order to carry a gun is not enough. In addition to that, we need to have much stronger gun regulations when it comes to firearms like AR-15s. I know this is unpopular in the state of Texas, but it's absurd to me that you can walk into a store and out of store within 30 minutes and have a 100-round drum and be able to carry that wherever you would like. We need to have something that's common sense, bipartisan to solve that.
Comments of Chris Miller. Mary Ann Arnold, same question.
Well, I just don't think that the AR-15 is a weapon that should be in civilian hands. I know this may be unpopular, but I have been in countries in civil war. I don't like war. I don't like feeling so unsafe that people talk about putting guards in churches. We have tried to solve the problem of gun violence by more guns, and it just doesn't work. We just get more guns and more violence. I don't think that children should be afraid in school.
Let's turn our attention to bathroom regulations in the special session. The legislature required individuals to use the bathroom bill, that corresponds with the gender on their birth certificate. While no final legislation came out, and we don't know if it'll come back again, your view, first, Mary Ann Arnold, on a bathroom bill and how, if any, should it be structured?
The bathroom bill was a very cynical ploy to separate one vulnerable minority and demonize them. It was just wrong. It was wrong, and it takes away basic rights from human beings. If you're dressed as a woman and you go in a man's bathroom, you're going to be injured. You're going to be beat up. If you're dressed as a boy and you go into a woman's bathroom, you're going to be horribly abused. I think this was nothing but a way of hurting a group that should not be hurt.
All right, thank you. The comments of Mary Ann Arnold. Same question to you, Chris Miller.
The transgender bathroom bill is incredibly discriminatory, and it does nothing but divide us. This issue was not an issue whatsoever 10 years ago. We see people in North Carolina that decided to want to make it an issue, and then it became a national issue. People in the transgender community are not sexual predators. That is what they are being equated with. And people in the transgender community just want to be left alone. So when they have to worry about going in public places, what bathrooms they're going to use, and how they're going to be treated as a result, I find it disgusting. We live in the land of the free. Allow these people to use the bathroom of their choice. They're not hurting people. There aren't documented cases of transgender individuals sexually assaulting individuals in bathrooms. It's used as a fear-mongering tactic. In addition, that bill would have cost the state of Texas $3 billion a year in lost revenue. Kyle Casal, Marianne and my opponent, voted for it as well, and I find that to be a disgrace.
Comments of Chris Miller. You're listening to the State Representative District 12 race. The two candidates that are speaking tonight are Democrats. They're vying for that position. And District 12 basically is a rural area. So, Chris Miller, what is your ideas as far as being able to relate to a mostly rural electorate?
Well, coming from a larger city, I didn't get to experience growing up in a rural area. But with that said, I do meet out with clients. Part of my job is to go meet with prospective clients at their residence. A lot of those areas are in rural areas, and so I get to hear them talk about all the issues that they hold dear. Guns are obviously very close to people in rural areas, as well as water rights and property rights. And I want to let you know that I will support the rights of those people. I will fight for the people in my district. I am representing them. They are not sitting here and following me. It is the people that matter and not just one person.
The comments of Chris Miller. Same question for you, Mary Ann Arnold.
Well, I live in Curtin. Its population is either 378 or 398. I'm not sure. I have chickens and goats. I'm pretty rural. This district was set up to be incredibly, incredibly diverse because we have upper-income white neighborhoods in College Station. We have poor black neighborhoods in Waco. We've got a zillion small towns, 32 school districts, and more cows than people. I have a degree in horticulture. I think that agriculture is the highest use that you can put to land. I talk to everybody I can, from cowboys, and I've talked to some cowboys, to urban planners.
Let's turn our attention then to property taxes. I'll ask you first, Marianne Arnold, as we discussed when we were talking to the county commissioner folks, to remind you that neither the House nor the Senate could agree on what the trigger point would be for a recall election based on property taxes. The governor came up with 2.5%. If you are elected, at what number should there be a trigger for an election if property taxes were raised above that number?
I thought the governor's number was ridiculous. Brazos County has increased by 20,000 people from 2012 to the present time. That's 2.5% a year. So we would be in a tax election every year. One of the reasons that property taxes are so high is what Irma Colley alluded to, that state government gives local governments unfunded mandates, so they have to do things, but they don't have the money to do them. We have a real problem keeping up with infrastructure all over this district, even if rich counties and rich cities like College Station has $300 million of infrastructure it can't pay for.
Thank you. The comments of Marianne Arnold. Chris Miller, same question to you.
Sure.
What we were talking about is that the Senate and the House each came up with what the percentage of increase on property taxes would be to trigger an election. They never came to terms with it. Then the governor came up with a number of any increase above 2.5% should trigger an election. If you are elected, what would the number be as far as you're concerned?
I don't have a number in mind, to be honest. I'm not gonna sit here and lie about that. But I do also disagree with the 2.5%. With regards to property taxes, we also have to look at where those property taxes are going. So with regards to the education system, we have the state of Texas not properly funding our education system, which is resulting in local property taxes in poorer areas skyrocketing. So we have richer areas that don't have to pay as much in property taxes in poorer areas, and they have more than enough resources to provide education. We have schools in the state of Texas that are giving MacBooks and iPads to all of their students, while poorer, more rural districts aren't able to have the access whatsoever. So it's how we spend that. So with regards to the education system, way that we can fund the education system better to lower those property taxes is to limit standardized testing. We're spending $2 billion a year in standardized testing. That is not a baseline of one's knowledge. It is not a baseline of one's critical thinking skills, and we need to fundamentally restructure our education system.
The comments of Chris Miller. Did I ask you that question?
I think you asked. It's his turn.
It's his turn. Okay. Yeah, I know. All right, let's stay here then. Let's talk about, again, this is an agricultural, basically an agricultural, tremendously agricultural district, District 12. Let's talk about groundwater, groundwater rights. Right of capture is in place. Texas Supreme Court upheld that by unanimous vote last time. What is your view on water rights in Texas?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I haven't looked at a lot of the material with regards to water rights. But with that said, I do understand that the water under one's property is their own. But we do have interconnected water systems. So if somebody's trying to pump out all the water under their land, it's also taking water away from their neighbors. We do need to have an issue to address that. That being said, I don't have an answer this time.
All right. The answer of Chris Miller. Marianne Arnold, same question.
Well, water's a life and death issue for all of us. The cities have to have water or they can't grow, and the cities, frankly, are where the jobs are. Most people in rural areas go have to go someplace else to work. We need to have enough water for agriculture, but unlimited pumping by anybody is disastrous. This state is slated to grow to twice as many people by the year of 2050. And if we don't have agriculture, we don't eat. If we don't have cities, we don't have jobs.
I'll stay with you. In your opening comment, you mentioned public schools and public school financing. Good gosh, you have almost two dozen superintendents that you have to deal with in District 12. So what is the answer? How do we find funding? How do we solve that so that there's enough funding for all the different kinds of school districts that you have in District 12, for instance?
It's going to be really tough, believe me. I know that the state legislature used smoke and mirrors to balance the budget this last session. One place I would look is to reverse the franchise tax cuts of 2015, and there was another attempted cut of 2017. I don't think we should give tax cuts to people who don't need tax cuts. The other place I would look is in the property tax area, that there's a loophole in the law that allows people with enough lawyers to sue and get a lower appraisal than market value. Everybody should be appraised at the same level. It would bring in about $7 billion in total more.
Okay, thank you. The comments of Marianne Arnold. Chris Miller, same question for you.
With regards to the education system, I'd say that not only, like I said earlier, we need to completely reshift our focus with regards to standardized testing. I didn't get the chance to say it, but standardized testing costs are second. Above that is teacher salaries. In addition to that, we need to obviously legalize marijuana in this state. The state of Colorado is making an enormous amount of money that's going straight into their education system. And a lot of people laugh when they talk about the issue of marijuana, but there is an enormous amount of people in the jails and prison systems right now whose lives are forever altered. And the majority of people my age have smoked marijuana. And let's not pretend like that isn't an issue. It's so much less harmful than tobacco. It's so much less harmful than alcohol. And we have people rotting in our jails, costing our taxpayers money, when we could be harvesting that, creating jobs for the state of Texas, and properly funding our education system.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to quickly respond to that, because folks who weren't watching saw that you did respond, so the thought of Chris Miller bringing up the legalization of marijuana.
Actually, I support it.
Okay.
My late son-in-law, when he was going through chemo, smoked marijuana for nausea. And I think from the people I know who've also been through chemo, it's one of the few things that actually helps.
I just basically wanted to get your feeling to see mm-hmm. where you stood on that. All right, now it's time to ask your opponent a question. If you'd like, Chris Miller, do you have a question for Marianne Arnold?
Sure. What do you think the most pressing issue with regards to women's health care in the state of Texas is?
I think that the state of Texas has cut way back on access to reproductive services and reproductive health services like STD testing, pap smears. There are a heck of a lot fewer women, I think, I don't have a statistic here, a heck of a lot fewer women who can get health care. And that means that's one of the reasons that more women are dying in the year around childbirth. I would like to see our clinics and small rural hospitals fully funded so that the health care is actually where people are, not all bottled up in big cities.
All right, Mary Ann Arnold, do you have a question for Chris Miller?
Not at this time.
All right. Then it's time for closing comments. Chris Miller, you'll be first.
Well, I just want to reiterate the fact that we do have a criminal justice system that is in massive disrepair. We have laws on the books right now that disproportionately harm the African-American population of people of color to the point where they are 8 times more likely to be arrested for drug-related crimes, and usage across races is equal. Even some studies found that usage among whites is greater than people of color. These people are legally stopped and frisked on the spot. We have a police force that is incentivized to keep people in jail, to push for the maximums. We have private prisons in this state that make money off of people that have committed crimes. In addition, once an individual comes out of prison, if they were charged with a felony, not only is their right to vote revoked, but they find it to be almost impossible to find a job. These people have served their time. These people have committed a crime, been overly punished for it, and then for the rest of their lives on every single job application, they are unable to get a job for the most part because of that criminal record. In addition, those that have been arrested for drug-related crimes are not able to get public housing, SNAP benefits, any kind of welfare benefits. And when you can't get on welfare and you can't get a job, you are setting these people up for failure. This is a bipartisan issue that we can find solutions to. But we refuse, because Republicans don't want to work with Democrats because they're too worried. Republicans don't want to work with Democrats, and Democrats don't want to work with Republicans because they are too arrogant about their own desire to get reelected, because that could be used against them. We need to be working for the people of the state of Texas and not the politicians and their views on getting reelected. If we don't work together, this system will fail.
Closing comments of Chris Miller. Now the closing comments of Mary Ann Arnold.
Hi. I've been active in politics for a long, long time, as I told you before. That's why the first question I ask of a candidate for any other office is, how hard can you work? I've been a full-time candidate since I started campaigning last July. I've been to every corner of this district. I've been all the way up to West. Does anybody know where West is? And I have been over to Mejia. Last week, I finally made the last point of the journey and went down to Milliken. I'm a nuts and bolts person. The reason I can talk about financing things is that I don't ask for more funding without trying to figure out a way to get the more money. I have a degree in accounting. I've worked in accounting and business for 20 years, so I understand business. I don't speak very well, obviously, but sometimes just showing up and speaking in a squeaky voice like mine is more important than being eloquent. If I'm going to be a voice for the whole district, I'm going to listen to the people first, and I mean all of the people. I've talked to everybody I can, and I will continue talking to everybody if you elect me. Thank you so much.
Closing comments of Mary Ann Arnold. These are your candidates for State Representative District 12. Thank you for being here tonight.